Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. We got Fleegs on the other side. We're taking your calls at 888-808-1019 till we get to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, where they will be discussing what I will be discussing, what we will be discussing all morning long, all afternoon long, probably all evening long here on the fan. To me, what we saw yesterday out in London may very well be the worst head coaching job I have ever seen. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's some sort of, you know, slave to the moment kind of over the top reaction. I think that's as poorly a coached game as I've ever seen in my life. And I know Lori brought up the Joe Judge running quarterback sneaks. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. Because, and you know me, if you listen to me, and it's not just Aaron Boone, and not to bring up the Yankees, but it's not just Aaron Boone or anybody else. I am not quick to blame the coach. I am much more put the onus on the players. I typically lean that way. Not just Aaron Boone, who I know I get criticized for being supportive of. Like, any coach, I typically will look at the players and try to put the blame on them. And God knows Justin Fields was terrible. He was awful in this game. Awful. And we'll get to all the different ways he was awful. But the head coach made some of the more astounding, baffling, hard-to-understand decisions I've ever seen. And obviously, it starts with what we all want to talk about and what jumped out of on the screen to us, what made Kurt Warner want to rip his hair out, what was the more puzzling couple of minutes I've ever seen on a football field is the end of the first half situation where I don't know what the hell he's doing. I don't know what the hell he's doing. The way this coach handled that situation, and you could call it coaching scared, as Laurie was. You could call it whatever you want. Like, it wasn't just scared. It was dumb. It made absolutely no sense. It contradicted itself in many ways. Why on earth? Like, first of all, you get the ball. You show no interest to throw the football down the field, right? You are running the football. Kurt Warner is losing it. Losing it! You get fourth and one. You decide to go for a fake punt. Aaron Glenn showed a fake punt, a play that they hope to surprise teams with. Showed a fake punt to get 1 yard, and that is designed for a short yardage fake punt. Instead of just running out there, run the football, he pulls a fake punt, shows everybody in the NFL his fake punt. He does that just to continue to run the clock out so Denver doesn't get the ball. That entire sequence screamed two things. One, I don't want Denver to get the ball back. And two, I don't trust my quarterback to throw the football down the field at all. at all. And here's my main problem with what happened in yesterday's game. Here's where I don't understand the contradiction or the thought process of this coach in that moment. He tells the Denver Broncos, he tells the rest of the NFL, he tells the fan base, and he tells his own team that he doesn't trust this quarterback. And I get why. He's got awful. The 9 sacks, look at it. I'll give you all the numbers. We'll go through them. An average sack is somewhere around 4 seconds. He's holding the ball for 5.5 seconds average on those 9 sacks. He's holding the ball. He can't make decisions. All the things we talked about Justin Fields before they brought him in. Everything we talked about. Yes, he can run. Yes, he has an arm. But he is unable to read the field. He is unable to be accurate. He is unable to get the ball out. This is exactly why Mike Tomlin, even with a winning record, decided to keep him on the bench while Russell Wilson was falling apart down the stretch of the season. Because this dude can't play quarterback in the NFL. And we'll get to speaking about Mike Tomlin and what's going on with Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers. God forbid he was here to ruin the winning culture that Aaron Glenn is establishing here with the Jets. He needs to be the alpha male. And Aaron Rodgers might have, you know, hindered that. But he tells the Broncos, the NFL, the fan base, and his own team at the end of the half that he does not trust this offense, that he does not trust Justin Fields to make plays down the field. Clear as day. Screamed it. And then he sticks with him for the second half. I don't understand that thought process. How could, and then, you know, he to the point where his star wide receiver is yelling at him on the sidelines, baffled by the decision, as we watch 20 seconds click off the clock. On the last play, they just don't even want to run a play. They were happy. They were happy that they did not give the ball back. That was all that was required in that drive. That's how little this coach thinks of his offense, trusts his quarterback. And then he tells his team that. He tells his star wide receiver that. And then he doesn't go to Tyrod Taylor, who is possibly the most adequate backup quarterback in the NFL. You brought him in here for a reason. Yes, it was to back up old man Rodgers. You kept him because you had a young kid. He is the most accomplished and successful and arguably talented backup quarterback in the NFL. He's a little older. And he can't stay healthy is his problem. But this is a guy who can throw the football. This is a guy who's won games and started a ton of games in the NFL. He's there for a reason. Maybe you think the Bengals would have rather had him or Joe Flacco? Like, there's probably an opportunity to move this dude, do something with this dude if you're not going to play him in that moment where you don't believe in your quarterback. How can you tell your star wide receiver, our quarterback, I don't trust him to try and get you the ball at the end of the half, but we're going to stick with him? It's one of the more baffling decisions I've at any point in the fourth quarter, any point in the second half. You've got to attempt to bring in a quarterback who can throw the ball. You can see it with Justin Fields. And I'm pretty sure it was my man Willie Colon who said it in the postgame. Justin Fields needs to see it before he throws it. I thought that was put perfectly. He holds on forever. He waits till the receiver's open. Even on the final play of the game before the fourth down, the third down, that would have given them an opportunity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To have a better kick. And we'll get to the kick and the idea that you got to get to the 35. What are you talking about? We'll get to the post game in a second. But even on that throw, he's got Wilson on the out. It's too late. It's behind him. And anybody who thinks, yes, it was in his hands, yes, he had control of it for a second, he put him in such an awful position to attempt to hold on to that ball. As the defender comes, you know, obviously in, as the throw is 2 seconds or 3 seconds too late and behind him. That is an embarrassing throw on what should be an easy play. He has to see it before he throws it. There is no throwing receivers open. There is no understanding where they're going to be on the field. There is no throwing. How many times you're watching the NFL, and this isn't news. This isn't like I'm not, I'm watching it just like you are. Like, I'm not breaking any ground here. They throw it before the route breaks. Like, you know where your player is going to be. You know the timing. You know he's going to be open. Get it to him. They're playing man the whole game, the Denver Broncos. Give your team a chance. Give your players a chance. He was awful in this game. I get it. He was awful. It's up to the coach to move on from him. It's up for the coach who told us all how bad he was, how little he trusted him, to give the team a chance to win the football game by changing quarterbacks. And this nonsense, I'm listening to the postgame too, on SNY, and they talk, well, you don't want to lose him. Who cares? You could go back to him next week. He could still be the starter moving forward if you want to try and find out about him, which I think is pointless at this point. But you can bench him for Tyrod Taylor to go win one football game and then go back to him, and if he sucks again, bring in Tyrod Taylor at halftime in the next game. You can't tell the world, I don't trust my quarterback, and bring him out. This is Mr. Accountability. This is Mr. You better not fumble a kickoff. I'm going to cut you. This is a coach who literally said, if you can't help us win football games, there's no place for you. This guy was killing your football game. He was ruining the opportunity you had to win the game. It's your own words. If you can't help us win a football game, you're not going to play. That's what you said. He's killing the game. He's killing the game, and you admitted it with how you handled the end of the first half. How can you stick with him? How can you tell us it's about winning now, as you did at the Combine? How can you tell us it's about winning now? How can you tell us it's about winning, building a winning culture when you don't do what you know is in the best interest of winning the game? It would have been one thing if he trusted him and he kept going. He said it. With his actions, he said it. I don't trust Justin Fields to make plays. How do you allow that to continue in the second half? How? I don't get it. Negative 10 rushing yards, passing yards rather. And let me ask you this. Your two best weapons on the offensive team, obviously, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Breece Hall had shown more explosiveness in the beginning of the season than he had all of last year. Right? We're starting to see Breece Hall really make inroads. He was, you know, incredible in the first couple games, rushing for 7 yards a clip. Like, he's one of the better, in my mind, you know, dual-purpose threats at the running back position in the league. He's good catching the ball out of the backfield. How can you not have a single target to Breece Hall? How do you not throw some kind of screen? How do you not set up, just give your quarterback who's clearly struggling and can't throw the ball down the field, attempt to get him an easy completion, attempt to try and get him rolling, attempt to build some momentum. Not a single target? To one of the better dual threat running backs in the game? I heard a caller as I'm driving in. No play action pass. Like, there was nothing to this game plan. Nothing. He only ran the ball seven times. He can't throw the ball. They don't have a game plan that suits him. It's not like they're game planning for just a running quarterback. Like, do that then. Come out in the second half. If you're going to play him and you know he can't throw the ball down the field, come out and play the game completely different. Come out and play the game for a running quarterback. I don't care what you do. Run the option. You've got to have a game plan to put your quarterback in a better position than that if you're going to roll him out there for the entire second half. The game plan was awful. The decision-making was awful. He gave up at the end of the first half. He gave up. And then proceeded to give up. And then, I'm sorry, the comments in the postgame, and you know, Lori played it. We'll play the highlight later probably. Costello, who's been covering the Jets for forever for the Post, asked him about a quarterback change. And Mr. Accountability, again, that's what he's here for. He's not here because he's the greatest defensive mind, although I'm sure he's a good one. The defense played great. But he's here because he's some sort of culture builder. He's here because he holds players accountable. He's here because he knows the market. Remember that one? He's a Jet. He's been here. He understands what it's like to be a New York Jet. He was there. He could tell us how windy it was in the AFC Championship game in 1998. He understands the market. He knows the fan base. He understands what's going on with this team. He knows the market. He knows the market and then thinks a question about the quarterback status is a ridiculous question. When they're 0-6, when he himself told you, I don't trust him to make plays, when they threw for negative 10 rushing yards, the first time in 30 years, it's one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL. Like, that's not overstating it. It is one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL. Your team is 0-6, and you're Mr. Accountability, and you are flabbergasted that someone would dare ask you about the status of the quarterback next week? That Costello, to quote the coach, should know better than that? That is absolutely the most ignorant, absent-minded, unaware of your surroundings comment from a head coach I've ever heard. I'm not going to answer that question right now. Suitable. Hey, look, the game just ended. We'll talk about that. Suitable. What kind of question is that? What kind of question is, hey, what's the status of the quarterback next week? That's a ridiculous question. Hey, guys have bad games. Can we play it? I know you had it for Lori. I know guys have bad games. That's what happens. It's the NFL. You don't just bench them. You cut the kick returner after one fumble. After one fumble. You are Mr. Accountability. Everybody is subject to benching. Everyone. All right, let's hear the coach again. This is when Costello asked him about the status of the quarterback next week.
Is he going to be your quarterback next week, or would you consider?
What kind of question is that?
Look, he did not have a good game. I mean, I think it's a fair question.
There's a number of guys that, you know, I mean, sometimes this league is like this, and there are guys that have bad games. That doesn't mean you just bench them. Come on, you know better than that.
That I cannot believe those words came out of his mouth. I mean, I was stunned by his decision not to go to Tyrod Taylor. I was stunned by the thought process at the end of the first half. I was pretty surprised for him not to kick that field goal or run the ball more down that last drive. I was pretty stunned to hear that he needed to get to the 35. I cannot believe. Like, I honestly, I'm not sure that audio is real. It must be AI. Because how on earth can a coach who was brought here, because he's Mr. Accountable, he's Mr. Culture Building, he's about winning at all costs, he's coming from Dan Campbell and will bite your kneecaps off. He played under the great Bill Parcells. He knows the franchise. He knows the fan base. He knows the market. And yet, the media should know better than to ask a question about the status of a quarterback who got sacked 9 times, and I would tell you at least 6, probably 7, are all on him. The team threw for negative 10 yards. It's one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL, and you would rather just watch the clock run out than to give him a chance to go down and score. And it's a ridiculous question that Ryan Costello should know better than to ask on the status of the quarterback next week. That it is hard to fathom how that is his response. It's hard to understand how he could think that question is ridiculous. He's the same dude who cut the kick returner for fumbling in the first game of the week, first game of the season. If you can't help us win football games, there is no place for you. How did that quarterback help you win football games? How did Justin Fields help you win a football game? How has he helped you win any? You're 0-6. Tua Tagovailoa is in the post game after the Dolphins lost to the Chargers, talking about major dysfunction inside the team. They are falling apart. Their coach is clueless. He's had a miserable season, Tua. They're a joke of a franchise right now. He's admitting to players not showing up to meetings. They kicked the crap out of the New York Jets. They're the worst team in the NFL. They're the only team that hasn't won a game. They scored 11 points. Two was on a safety, and 2 field goals were gifted to them off of turnovers and a kick return. The two of the 3 field goals they kick in this game, they start the drive in field goal position. It is an embarrassing performance of the highest level. And to ask if the quarterback is going to play next week is a ridiculous question that the media should know better than to ask. It's one of the more incredibly dumb answers to a question I've ever heard. And it's someone who has no idea what the fan base expects. It's someone who has no idea what the market is. It's someone who has no idea what goes on here, what's expected of this team. Has no idea of all the things he was hired because he had a great understanding of. It's an absolutely baffling morning. It was an absolutely baffling morning. That's as bad and it's on the players too. The defense played great. Justin Fields was terrible in the game. But that's one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. It's one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. Fake punt just to run the clock out. Not trusting his quarterback, yet not changing his quarterback. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The blatant contradictory of, I'm unwilling to trust my quarterback to throw the ball down the field, and I'm unwilling to take him out of the game. And more than that, you're stupid for asking me to. Rough one. Rough one, Jet fans. This is as bad as it gets. And now you're playing out the string, and here's the long question, right? Because we're going to talk about this coach, and I don't like firing, no matter how bad it is. I don't love firing coaches year one. You made a decision. He can get better. But what went on today, and then the idea, and here's the scary part, and this is why, unfortunately, in 2025, I don't like hiring defensive coaches, especially when I don't have a quarterback, because the Jets are most likely going to be at the top of this draft. I can't imagine them not being. Maybe not at the tippy top. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. They might win two games. But the biggest decision in this franchise's history moving forward is going to be made at the draft when they have to pick who's going to be the future of the franchise. Who's going to be the quarterback? Are you going to allow this coach who refused to do what needed to be done? Are you going to let this coach be part of the decision on what quarterback, after how you just saw him handle this quarterback in this game? Is this the coach that's going to be part of the brain trust that decides the next quarterback to run this franchise? This is as bad as it gets, Jet fans. This might be a new low point for a franchise that is built on them. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll obviously talk Jets here. And one of the more puzzling, baffling, horrendously coached games I've ever seen, as the Jets are now 0-6 and are without question the worst team in the NFL. We'll still talk Jackson Dart and the Giants. We saw the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll just wonder this. As the Toronto Blue Jays lose game one after hitting the leadoff home run and then doing nothing the rest of the game. I'm not saying they're cheating, and I mean that. I'm not saying they're cheating. What the hell did they have on the New York Yankees? Because they pounded the Yankees. Every pitch who came in got lit up. The fifth best starter on the Seattle Mariners shuts them down for six innings. Oh, my goodness.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.